This episode of the Real Fit Podcast is brought to you by the Real Nourished newsletter. Real Nourished, reinventing your relationship with food, is for you if you are ready to stop micromanaging your food and exercise so you can start fully showing up to your life. Each biweekly issue features evidence-based tools that will help reduce your food-related anxiety, improve your body image, and help you embrace exercise as a form of nourishment, not punishment. When you subscribe, you'll get my free guide, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. To get in on it, just click on the link in the show notes or visit my website, pam-moore.com.
Welcome to Real Fit, a podcast featuring real conversations with real women athletes. I'm your host, Pam Moore. I'm a freelance writer, body positive health coach, certified personal trainer, and a mom of two. And like you, I don't have time for bullshit. I created this show for every busy, badass woman who struggles with the question, am I enough? I'm here to tell you that you are, and my goal is to share stories that will inspire you and let you know you're not alone. Thanks for being here for this episode of Real Fit.
Hi, it's Pam Moore with the Real Fit Podcast, and today I want to talk about a fun topic, jealousy. I want to challenge you to reconsider the way you think of jealousy. I don't know about you, but for a long time, I felt like jealousy was something to be embarrassed about. I thought it made me childish. I thought it made me petty. But as with any emotion that feels uncomfortable, another approach that is actually helpful is to look at it with curiosity instead of judgment. Take a little step back and go, what could this jealousy teach me? I'm going to start with a story about a time that I was jealous very, very, very recently and kind of step back from what happened and dissect it to show you how I put this into action. And this is a testament to why you should never have your phone in your bedroom late at night, which is something I tend to do when Dan is not around. He had a work event, so he was out late. And usually I shut my phone off a little earlier and I put it in a different room to charge, but it was in bed with me and I got a Facebook message on my phone, which I don't have the Facebook app on my phone, but I do have Messenger. I got a message from an old family friend. Her goal was not to make me stay up all night and hate myself. But that's kind of what happened. No, she sent me a message and she said, have you seen this book? It was a link to a new book called Smile, The Story of a Face by Sarah Rule. And I'm going to link to it in the show notes because I'm very excited to read it, to be honest. But she says, have you heard about this book? No, I had not heard about this book. Now I'm about to descend. I don't know this yet. I'm about to descend into this major rabbit hole of like, what is this book? Who wrote this book? Why is my friend telling me about this book? Well, it's a memoir about the author's experience with Bell's palsy. And just like me, she got it shortly after she had given birth. And I actually did a little mini podcast about my Bell's palsy, and I'll link to that in the show notes as well. But it's when half of your face is paralyzed. And my case was kind of complicated, to make a long story short. It was very difficult for me. It was thoughtful of the friend to say, hey, have you seen this? This might interest you. And it did interest me to the point where I low-key stalked the author. Now I'm like on her website. I am on her Instagram. She's published adaptations or essays that are based on the book in New York Times, in Vogue. I've read them. They're really good. And the details of her story are actually weirdly similar to mine. And this isn't just a book. This is a book that, if I'm not mistaken, the New York Times put it on a list of 20 books to read, as did, I think, BuzzFeed and People magazine. So this is a major book. And the writer isn't just a writer. She's a playwright. Okay, so she's a fancy writer. I was so jealous. I had a little tantrum in my mind. I was like, well, who is she? Who is she writing a memoir about Bell's palsy? I'm the only writer to have had Bell's palsy. Like, that's my thing to write about. How dare she? That was my gut reaction, was just sort of, this isn't fair. She's on my turf. What the hell? Let me be clear. I don't think I've ever had an intention of writing a memoir about Bell's palsy. That's not something I have wanted to do. And to to be honest, it happened a little over 7 years ago. And if I were to write a memoir about it, I actually still don't think I've had enough space and time from the experience. But I went a little bit nuts. I was just sort of like, who is this person being so successful? And what am I doing with my life? I called up Dan. He was driving and he was willing to indulge me. And I was like going on and on. And he was so sweet. He was like, I was like, she's so backing up. I sent her a message on Instagram because I just wanted to, I had now read at least one of her essays. And I said, I really appreciated your essay, because I did. It was beautiful. I said, I know how hard it is to write about this topic. You know, it makes me feel incredibly vulnerable when I publish anything about it. But I think it's so important because it makes people like me feel really seen. So, you know, thank you. And I really look forward to reading your memoir, which is all true. But what I didn't tell her, which is also true, is my ego was secretly hoping that she would wonder who sent her this message and look at my profile on Instagram and like notice that I'm a real writer too. And then I got sort of embarrassed. I was like, oh, is she going to see that I'm a quote unquote real writer? And then if she's as much of a weirdo as I am, which I'm sure she's not, is she going to actually look at anything I've written? And is she going to see that my most recent article was about like how to do a pull-up? I'm writing about how to do a pull-up and she's writing a memoir. She's writing plays. I'm like, I'm creative, but I'm not that kind of creative. So now I'm like feeling worse about myself. And so Dan is so sweet. Dan's like, sweetie, do you want to be a playwright? You try writing a play. That could be fun for you. I don't even know if I've seen half a dozen plays in my life. So I'm like, no, I don't want to be a playwright. And now, and he said, I know you want to be known. And I'm like, you know, let's stop right there because that's partly true, but it's not just that I want to be known. I don't want to be famous just for the sake of being famous. I want to have something to say. I want to have something to say that will have somehow touched somebody, that will somehow connect me to somebody. I went to bed that night and I just sort of thought, you know what? I'm doing the best I can here. The rational part of my brain was like, she's on her journey and I'm on my journey and they're not the same. No two people are going to walk the same path. Even though I was having a little bit of a tantrum, I was also recognizing like, let's be an adult about this. It's okay to let her publish her amazing book, even if you're not publishing an amazing book. I just sort of gave it up to like the universe and I thought, I feel like something's going to be more clear in the morning. Sometimes I do this. I go to bed and I think to myself, I hope that I can have a dream that will point me in the right direction or get some clarity overnight. Like, let this do its subconscious thing. And I just want to know something in the morning. And it doesn't always work. But this particular time, three really cool things, if I'm counting right, multiple really cool things happened the next morning. The first thing that happened was I had pitched my editor at the Washington Post a story pertaining to diet culture, which up to now, those pitches haven't landed with her or with anybody. None have turned into a story. And now this one time, after days of not hearing anything, and of course making me be like, oh my gosh, is it a terrible idea? Maybe I was too brief. Maybe I should have fleshed it out more. Maybe I should have blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, she's like, I like this idea. Let's do it. Okay, awesome. The next thing that happened was I had pitched a different editor at a different publication who I'd worked with before, another story pertaining to disordered eating, eating disorders, diet culture, and she wasn't wanting to assign it, but she said it was good. They might do something similar soon, so it wasn't a fit, but you know, if I hadn't sold it in a period of time to check back. But in the meantime, would I be willing to take on an assignment? Also in this vein, it was right up my alley. It was absolutely something I want to write about, something that to me is a little bit more interesting than how to do a particular exercise. I mean, not to bash pull-ups. Pull-ups are an amazing exercise, and I really do feel powerful when I can do a pull-up. Highly recommend them. But it's much more interesting to me to talk about body image. So that was super exciting that I got an assignment. Even the pitch was not accepted. I got an assignment out of it. That was cool. And then the next thing that happened, it was like, I just felt like the universe was like, hey, I've got you. Like, everything's working out. Like, don't worry. I went to see my physical therapist who had been nudging me to invite a certain well-known athlete onto my podcast. And I had said, I'm too shy to ask her. I don't know. I feel like she's got a huge platform. She's going to say no. And my PT was like, no, I know her. She's really nice. You should definitely ask her. What's the worst that happens? Which is absolutely what I would say to a friend. So I did invite her on. I showed up at my PT's office and she came to greet me. And as she's walking me back to the treatment room, she's like, Guess who's here working out? Well, it was that athlete, which I'm not going to say who it is, but you'll find out if the stars align and this thing actually happens. I'm going to have a well-known athlete on this show soon. So we get to meet in person. Like, yes, we were wearing masks, but we met. It was so cool. I just felt like, okay, you know what? These were all signs that talking about body image and talking to women athletes and having these kind of conversations that I want to have with people and digging into these problems that we have with body image and this feeling that we're not enough or this feeling that we want to be just like somebody else when really who we are and what we're doing is absolutely enough. These were all signs to me that I'm on my path. And I might not know where the end destination is, but I'm taking these steps, like day by day, taking little steps, and opportunities are opening up for me. And it just felt so encouraging to look at those little synchronicities and go, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be a playwright. I'm not supposed to be writing a memoir about Bell's palsy. Let the playwright who writes about Bell's palsy do that. That's her. I'm doing my thing over here about enoughness and body image and bodies and sports. This is me. So I want to kind of step back and go, what can we take from this? Number one, when you are jealous of somebody, step back for a second, ask yourself, do I really want what they have? Well, maybe you do. And if you do, great. And it's simple. The answer to what to do next is keep trying. Keep trying to do that thing. And if you're trying and it's not working, try something else. And if what you're doing is working, double down and keep doing what you're doing. And maybe you feel like you haven't gotten where you want to be fast enough. I would just say, be patient. As my coach always says, my coach is Leela Davidson, and she's awesome. I'm going to link to her in the show notes. Leela has helped me a lot to think strategically about what I'm doing and look at the big picture. Leela's advice is that jealousy can be a roadmap pointing you in the direction of where you want to go. So like I said before, at the very beginning, I said, get curious about what jealousy can show you. So one, it can be a prompt to ask yourself, do I really want what this person has, this person over here that I'm jealous of? If so, okay, cool. It's just like a little reminder of, okay, this is what you want. I'm here to show you that you still want this thing, or maybe this is a new thing that you want. It's okay to want what somebody else has. The point of jealousy isn't to turn you into a monster, but it can just be a gentle reminder. To be clear, I'm not saying that you should try to be somebody else. You can't be somebody else. You're you. That's the beauty of you, that you're you. But if some other person has a thing that you want, there's probably more of that thing to go around. And you can have that thing, that accomplishment, that position, that creative portfolio, whatever it is, you can have that too. But now say you've asked yourself, do I really want what they have? And your answer is, oh, wait, actually, no. I looked at this Bell's palsy memoirist and I said, oh, wait a minute. I don't actually want what she has. I don't want to be a playwright. I don't want to publish a memoir about Bell's palsy. Okay, so the next question is, okay, then why are you having such big feelings about this? There's a couple things. For me in that moment, I definitely think I get weird when the days get shorter, not in the winter. For the last, oh my God, like 20 years, I get real funky around September, October. I cry for no reason. Like, and I mean like PMS crying, like can't stop, won't stop, almost don't want to stop over practically nothing. Okay, so first of all, I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, do I need more sleep? What can I do to improve my mood? Like maybe it's just this time of year. Then there's also, and I think the word self-care gets overused, but well, I'm going to use it. Whatever self-care means to you. Like for me, I also know at that time when I had this fit of jealousy, I was pretty sleep deprived. When I get sleep deprived, I get really short and really grouchy, and then I yell at my kids, and then I feel guilty and I feel bad about myself, and then I get like even more grouchy. So no bueno. So I need to get more sleep. Another thing that I know I need is exercise. If I don't exercise with a certain intensity at a certain frequency, I'm going to get real mean real fast. And that includes being mean to myself. Had I exercised recently? I can't remember, actually. And then another thing that I need to fill my cup is hanging out with friends. It doesn't have to be a lot, but that social connection means a lot to me. So just step back and go, maybe I'm having huge feelings about this and it's not really even about this. Maybe I'm just really depleted and this is a reminder that I need to fill the cup in some way. On the other hand, maybe all the self-care in the world would not make a dent in your big feelings, because maybe you don't exactly want what this other person has, but you want some version of it or some aspect of it, and something about them or what you perceive them being is reminding you of that. So, like, what is that? My husband hit the nail on the head. He said, I know you want to be known. And he's right. I feel a little bit like egotistical saying that, but it's not just, like I'm just going to reiterate, it's not just that I just want to be known for, you know, I don't want to be a Kardashian. I don't want to be like famous for no reason. I want to make something and do something that actually matters to people. So again, let that jealousy steer you toward, what is that thing? What is the impact I want to have? Can this be a gentle reminder that maybe I'm being too reactive to all these outside stimuli that are coming my way? Maybe I'm saying yes to projects that are maybe lucrative or look good on my resume or whatever it is, but are they actually shutting the door on allowing me to spend more energy and resources on the thing that's really aligned with where I want to be and what I want to contribute? And the next thing to ask yourself, get curious about, do I know this other person that I'm so jealous of? Do I know their whole story? Well, don't waste any time thinking too long or too hard about this one, because the answer is no. I don't care who they are. I don't care how well you think you know them. The only one who knows their whole story is them. And maybe not even them, if they're not really self-aware. A lot of us aren't. Dan, my husband, is really fond of reminding me that we should not be comparing our insides to someone else's outsides. You have no idea what someone went through or what they are going through to have what they have and to do what they do. And even if you know what it took for them to get where they are, maybe you don't have the resources, or maybe it's just not the time for you to do what they did. And that's okay. It doesn't make you less of a person if you're like, ooh, they worked really hard. Like, maybe they went to bed at midnight every night and got up at 5 every day. And maybe that's just like not sustainable for you. It's not sustainable for me. I'm not ashamed of that. You're you, okay? You're not supposed to be someone else. Your only job is to be you. And your only job is to be where you are at this moment. Whether you want to be here or you don't want to be here, or you think you shouldn't be here, like, this is where you are. So embrace where you are. And if you don't like it, just start thinking about, okay, what can I do next? Instead of lamenting all the things that got you where you are in this moment. Those are in the past now, but what can you do? If you are feeling jealous, what can you do to go, okay, maybe I can have that thing that I want. So I felt like I had a lot of clarity when I was willing to say about this other writer, hey, she's on her path. I'm on my path. It's totally cool. Look, I don't know where she started. You know, maybe she's been writing plays since she was 8. You know, I don't know. And like I said, I don't even want to write plays. Nothing against plays or playwrights or theater. I think the arts are really important. It's just like not my jam. Finally, when you're thinking about jealousy and wanting to be where somebody else is, might I suggest something very counterintuitive, which is don't work so hard. I used to think that if I worked hard enough at something, that like I would get it. Like I used to look at these other triathletes and think, how can I be as fast as them? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll train as much and as hard as I can. And you know where that got me? That got me feeling like waking up for like 6 months in a row every day feeling like my legs got beaten with a bat or like I got run over by a bus, and then keep on doing it because I kept thinking, well, I must be sore because I'm not in shape. So to get in shape, I should like do more. And all I was really overtrained. And it took me a long time to realize that and take the rest that I needed to eventually come back to training in a way that was sustainable. Hard work is not the same as smart work. There's a certain frantic energy around trying really hard. It doesn't feel that great, and it's not sustainable long-term, whether we're talking sports or creative work or work or anything. If it like feels like you're grinding and pushing, that's too much. Trying smart, on the other hand, that can mean a lot of things. But to me, it means putting one foot in front of the other at a pace that's sustainable. So to me, it means like it's an Ironman pace versus a 5K pace. It's a pace that you're like, okay, let's settle into this. Let's control what we can control. Try to have a positive attitude when things go wrong, because they will. But knowing if this is something you really want and you're committed to it, you're going to be here for a while. So even if things go wrong, there's going to be time for them to go right again. You just stick with it, keep putting one foot in front of the other, and things will turn around. Literally, during an Ironman, you can be having a mile that you're like, I don't know, how many more miles of this do I have? And it's like, don't worry about it. Just put one foot in front of the other foot. Maybe you feel nauseous. Okay, then like maybe you puke, and then maybe you don't feel nauseous anymore and you can eat some more food. And same thing in actual life. You're going to have lulls. That's okay. Just keep going. And to me, working smart and letting go a little bit and not pushing so much, bear with me, getting a little woo-woo, it also means that if I do my part, I feel like the universe, whether that to you, you feel comfortable with the word universe, God, spirit, the divine, even your network, whatever it is, I feel like that's going to come up and meet me halfway when I do my part. When I go to sleep at night and I think, somebody, something, somehow, give me a sign that everything's okay. Like I was telling you, all those three things happened at once. It was like, bam, 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 the universe is telling me, Pam, I got your back. I totally believe in synchronicity. When you're doing your part to go in the direction that you want to go and keep your creative juices flowing in some way, doesn't have to be a big way, but in some way, it's like you're planting seeds. You're just planting a seed here and planting a seed there. You don't know when it's going to bloom, but then eventually it does. And you're like, oh, dang, that person I tried to connect with like a year ago, here they are now offering me this thing that I, you know, like things just happen. They come together. To recap, when you feel jealous, because I'm not going to say if you feel jealous, if you want big things, if you want small things, if you're a human, you're going to feel jealous sometime. And feeling shame about the jealousy is just not helpful. Instead, I'm going to encourage you to get curious about the jealousy. Let it be a tool. Jealousy can help you. Number one, big thing, get curious. And then what does that look like? Ask yourself a few questions. One, ask yourself, do I really want what this other person has? If not, ask yourself, why am I having such big feelings about this thing? And then break that down a little bit more. Maybe it's because you're depleted. You need to fill your cup. Do whatever self-care means to you. Do that thing. Do those things. Maybe it's just a sign. Like maybe you want some aspect of what this other person has. Then narrow down. What is that thing? How do I get it? Is what I'm doing helping me go in that direction? Do I need to maybe do something else? Maybe did I just need a reminder that I'm getting a little bit off course and I need to stay focused on that thing that I really do want? Another thing to ask yourself is, do I know this other person's whole entire story? Before you start beating yourself up, which you should never do anyway, but if you are, go, wait a minute. I'm comparing myself to something when I don't actually have all the data. Be like a scientist. How can you compare the results of two experiments when you don't even know what happened in one experiment? Okay. And then finally, let go of the frantic pushing energy. Allow yourself to take small, sustainable steps and allow the universe or God or spirit, divine, whatever energy, whatever it is, allow it to push you up and meet you halfway. Believe that it will. Because that's part of it too. Like if you don't believe this is going to work, then it's not. You're not going to be looking for the signs that it's working. If you really do believe that's going to work, you're going to be on the lookout for signs that it worked. That's motivating. When you have a little bit of success, it makes you want to do more and have more success, and it feeds on itself. As always, thank you so much for being here and for listening. I really appreciate your support. If you haven't had a chance, I would so appreciate it if you would subscribe to this show, tell a friend, give it a 5-star rating, and of course, review it would be amazing. I am so grateful to those who have reviewed it. I want to read this one. It's from PedsOT78, and they say, fantastic. Pam is smart, funny, and down to earth. Her laid-back style and brilliant guests are so empowering for this everyday working mom trying to fit it all in. Thank you. That's so nice. So when you tell a friend or when you rate and review it, that helps other folks find it. The whole goal is just to help me spread my message that you're already enough. Because I think this message is really important. Nearly every woman I talk to struggles with this sense of, am I enough in some way or another. Even though I'm here telling you that you are, to be totally honest, I'm still struggling with it. I'm working on it. And I think that's okay. I think we're all working on it. And I'm not going to sit behind the microphone and pretend like I have everything all figured out. Again, thank you so much for being here. Y'all are awesome. And until next time, keep it real. If you're a writer or an aspiring writer who wants to know exactly what it takes to break into your dream publications, I have something just for you. It's a 34-page ebook I wrote called 7 Pitches That Sold, and in it, I share everything I wish I'd known when I started out as a freelance writer. It also includes 7 pitches that turned into assignments for outlets including Runner's World, The Washington Post, and Outside Magazine. Use the code REALFIT50 at checkout to get half off, because friends don't let friends pay full price. And the link where you can purchase it is in the show notes.